You know, we have two services. The first one, you know, if you like a laid-back service, first service is the one for you. If you like a crazy service, this is the one. And, you know, and let me say, you know, we've got guests here today, and they think, what is going on in this house? You know, if you come from a mainline background, you think, what is going on? Well, you know, we're non-denominational here. We have people from all backgrounds. I was raised Methodist. Got any Methodists in the house that was raised Methodist? We're in the minority. I know this will get a lot of you. Southern Baptists. How many? Oh, yeah, look at there. Southern Baptists. Some kind of Pentecostal. Assembly of God. Church of God. All different kinds. Lutheran. Church of Christ. Miss Nancy, our children's pastor, was Church of Christ. We got some Catholics. We've got some just people from all, a bunch of heathens. We have just a bunch of heathens. But, you know, we want to make room for everyone. And you know what? You don't have to be loud. If everybody was loud, we couldn't hear nothing. But, you know, I'm kind of laid back. And I like being laid back. So I have the liberty to be laid back. And we just appreciate every kind of expression. Sometimes I go by and pat one of them on the Robbie. I say, no, Robbie, don't show out today. Because but he's laid back like me. But we're glad that you're here today and that you've chosen to worship with us. And I just love you guys a whole lot. Of you, all of our church family. You're awesome people. God is doing a great thing in our midst, and we're accomplishing some things for His glory and His kingdom, and we're really, really excited about that. And you know, if you're visiting with us today, we want to invite you to come and be a part of our family. You don't have to act wild like this guy right here, unless you want to. And you know, you can. You know, we love free expression as long as we're decently and in order and don't disrupt and all of those kind of things. That's the Bible talks about that. How many? Now, heaven's not going to be quiet. Heaven's not going to be quiet. There's going to be musical instruments there. There's going to be rejoicing and shouting and all of that going on in heaven. So you better get used to it because it's coming, baby. But we got lots to be happy about. As soon as this service is over, Joe and I are going to be going home, getting in the van, headed to Little Rock. We're fixing to go on our African trip this afternoon. So we would covet your prayers a whole lot. And I don't like traveling. I just don't mind telling you. I don't like those long flights. 14 hours is hard on the telemus maximus. And it's... And I don't sleep well on planes, so I would appreciate you praying for us while we're gone. We want to be safe. We want to come home safe, and we want to do something for Jesus while we're there. We're going to help plant the church, and we're going to take pictures and video, and we'll come back, and we're looking forward to this trip. And I'm looking forward to getting home already, and I hadn't gone yet. So, I like home. On Sunday, I want to be here. During the week, I want to sleep in my bed with my wife. And just so you know. But, you know, we're all about that. And we believe here that you ought to have a good time when you come to church. The crazy rappers up here, I don't know what got into them. But, you know, it doesn't have to be sanctimonious. There's time to be serious. There's a time for every emotion. You know, I saw tears already today in the service as we were worshiping. I saw people wiping tears. That's okay. I have seen people just boo-hoo in the service, and that's okay. One thing that we want is we want the presence of the Holy Spirit. I think people are looking for a genuine presence of God when they go to church. And that's kind of what we want to be about. We're not trying to be Pentecostal. We're not trying to be cool. We're not trying to be Baptist. We're just trying to be believers that are following Jesus Christ. And That's what we're into. And if you're into that, hey, you may have found home. So we're excited about all that. We began a series last week, in which we calling it Real World Faith. And we talked about what real world faith looks like. The scripture tells us three things. That the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. Now that word unfeigned means genuine and real. So if there is a genuine and real faith, there is a counterfeit to faith. And I think that a lot of people mistake faith for something that it's not. And, you know, people say, well, faith is believing. Well, that's only part of it. You know, the devil believes. The Bible says in James that the demons believe, but they don't have faith. And there's a lot of people who believe, but they don't have faith. Some people think they have to earn their faith. You can't earn anything from God. But, you know, the Bible goes on and says that faith without works is dead, being alone. So there is the aspect of action that comes with faith, but it's not a wage-earning situation. It's more like a fruit that follows faith. Because faith will produce in your life. And God has called us to live by faith. It says four times in the scripture, three times in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament, for the just shall live by faith. Amen. Not only are we justified by faith, we are to live by faith. We're to live by faith. That means our lifestyle needs to be the lifestyle of faith. Real faith, not fake faith, not a counterfeit, something that looks like faith, talks like faith, but it's not really faith. See, there's a substitute, and it's called mental assent. Well, I believe, but that's as far as it goes. See, faith is in the heart and in the mouth, the Bible says. You know, that's how you got saved. You believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And it says you shall be saved. See, that's faith. It's not in the head and in the mouth. It's in the heart and in the mouth. So we talked about that last week. And today I'm going to go back and talk about, we talked about that faith is dependency on God. It's not self-sufficiency. So see, we live and are taught to work hard, to be independent, to be self-reliant, to be self-sufficient, to be in control of our own destiny. And that's okay in a limited sense. But when it comes to the things of God, we're not to be independent. We're not to be self-sufficient. We're not to be self-made. We are dependent on Him. And we're going to look at some things in Scripture today and look at a couple of stories that talk about positioning ourselves to receive from God. Because faith will position us where we can receive what God wants to do in our life. Can I just tell you? Let me tell you a couple things. First of all, God loves you very much. And I know some of you have a hard time believing that. Sometimes I have a hard time believing that. You know why? Because I know what a goof up I am. I do. I know that my attitude just stinks sometimes. Is anybody with me? Does your attitude ever stink? Sometimes my attitude stinks. Sometimes I say things that I shouldn't say. I'm not talking about cursing. I can do that too. But that's not what I'm talking about. Sometimes I just open my mouth when I should have kept it shut. Now, I know some of you got that problem. Okay? And I know me. I know my tendencies and I know my weaknesses. And sometimes it's hard. And I know sometimes I fall so short of my potential. And that's what, that irks me worse than anything else. See, I want to see God grow a great church here. And He's doing that. But sometimes I'm thinking, I just get in the way so much. I really do. I struggle with that. And I'm thinking, God, How could you ever bless me? How could you ever love me? I don't measure up. And I don't. But you know what he says? I don't love you because what you do. This came to me the other night when I was in one of these funky struggles, and you know, I was having trouble sleeping, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and says, "You're not a human doing, you're a human being." Did you get that? You're not a human doing. And we get so much into that mode sometimes. It's all about what we do, what we do, what we do. That's what is drilled into our heads through our society. It's what you do. Your acceptance is based on what you do. I'm a human being. And God wants me to just be. And if I will learn to just be and let God love me for being his creation, I can get over some of this stuff. Now, there's somebody that needs to hear that. In fact, there's more than one somebody's that needs to hear that. I need to hear that. So sometimes I'll lay down at night and I'll say, "Lord, I know I've got a bunch of stuff to do tonight, but tonight I'm not a human doing, I'm a human being. And Lord, I just want to be quiet. I just want to lay in your presence, and I just want to be your child. I want to embrace your love." And some of us, that's a hard pill to swallow. Somebody need to hear that. That wasn't in my notes now. I want you to know that. We might ought to take another offering for that revelation. But we live in such a work society, and you know, that's okay for that. But when it comes to our relationship with God, even though what we do is important, it's not the basis of his love for us. Okay? I just want you to understand that. And if we'll get that right, he'll start working and doing some things in our lives that'll take care of some of that crud that's really displeasing in his sight. But I want to give you five things here real quick about real faith. And then we're going to look at a story or two, and then I'm going to give you principles. And some of those principles are in this, what I'm going to say to you here. But real faith, number one, will surrender to God in every area. We're so bad about compartmentalizing our lives. You know, I have my work life. I have my family life. I have my play life. I have my spiritual life. Can I tell you something? You are a spiritual being. See, you're not a brain. You're not a body. Primarily, you're a spirit. You're a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. And you cannot compartmentalize your life and have a successful faith life by saying, "Okay, this part over here, you know, this is mine, but Lord, I give you this." Can I just tell you, whatever you put over here will control your life and it'll become an idol. We have to learn how to surrender every area of our life to God. See, what are we trying to do? We're trying to learn to position ourselves in faith that we can receive what God wants to do in our lives. So it has to do with surrender. Number two is real faith will not... yeah. Real faith will wait on God. We don't like waiting, do we? We don't like waiting. We want it instant, now, yesterday. Let me give you a principle. There's a story in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And it's the story of Abram and Sarai. This is before he became Abraham and Sarah. And God gave them a promise. And he says, "Abram, I said, I am going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to give you a son. And through him, you're going to become the father of many nations. In fact, in you, all the nations of the world will be blessed." Now, Abram was old. He was too old. He was too old to be fathering babies. And besides that, the woman he was married to was old. and she was over the hill. In the natural, she could not do this. Again, let me tell you something about faith. Faith does not have to do with what's possible. Faith is not something that you see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. So if you can see it, it's not faith. And God doesn't call us to walk by faith so that we can live this safe little life where we only venture out as far as we can see. Sometimes, the faith life usually has to do with what we cannot see. And he could not see a way that this could come to pass. She could not see a way that this could come to pass. So you know what they tried to do? They said, we're going to help God. Can I tell you something about God? He don't need your help. He's got a plan, and he's at work with his plan, and he don't need your intervention. He don't need you to protect his reputation. He just needs you to believe and follow. So he says, so she said, okay, Abram, I've got an idea. I've got this handmaid. Her name's Hagar. I can't see some of you gals doing this, okay? Says, what? Here may be what God wants to do. He says, I'm going to give you her, and you go in and sleep with her. I can't see Carla Mosier doing something like that. Okay? I can't see you gals approving of something like, you go in, sleep with her, and have a, you know, and maybe you're going to have a baby through her, and this is how God's going to do it. Well, being the man that he is, he said, I get a witness. I get a witness. I can see that. Yeah, right. Dog. So he did. She conceived, had a baby. His name was Ishmael. And he has been a problem for Abraham. And it was a problem for Sarah. It was a problem for Isaac. Ishmael was not the answer. It was the flesh trying to help the work of God. So we call it the Ishmael principle. You say, well, I wouldn't do something like that. Yeah, you've done that lots of times. You know, God's promised you something and you figure out a way for him to do it. So you go out and charge up a bunch of stuff and make payments and you get overextended. And the first thing you know, you're in trouble and you're paying off that Ishmael. It's the Ishmael principle. It's the work of the flesh. Isaac was the child of promise. Ishmael was the work of the flesh. And a lot of times we try to get ahead of God and help him, assist him because he needs our assistance because we can't see how he's going to do it. Can I tell you something? It's none of your business how he does it. He'll do it legally. It's your business to believe. It's your business to position yourself to be there when it happens. So real faith will wait on God. Number three, real faith will endure hardness. This faith life is not easy because you can't always see how you're going to get there. You got this promise that God says, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I want to do in your life. But you don't see the steps to get there. And sometimes it's very difficult. And you know, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's goofed up. Have you noticed that the world's goofed up? Turn on TV, you can see how goofed up it is. Look at the TV shows that they're shooting out at us. You can see goofed up people. We talked about that last week. All this reality television stuff is goofed up. And there are things that we face in life. It doesn't naturally flow toward us. A lot of times it flows away from us. And it's very challenging. It's very difficult. But let me tell you something. God is not the one that's making it hard. He's your solution. God's not the one making you sick. He's not the one that keeps the job from coming to you. He's not the one that does those things. He's not the one that makes it hard. He is our solution. But many times what we need to learn to do is to learn in every life situation. Can I tell you, if you don't learn through your mistakes, you'll repeat them. The children of Israel are a prime example of that, where they wandered. You know, the time they left Egypt to the promised land was only a few days' journey, but they stayed in that wilderness for 40 years. They kept doing the same dumb stuff over and over and over. That's called insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. Planting peas in your garden. Planting peas in your garden and hoping for watermelons. That's insanity. It don't work that way. So many times the hard things in life are choices that we have made. It's not God resisting you. But listen, God is always there for you to help you, to turn you if you'll learn to listen to Him. And you can learn from every mistake that you make in life. You can't out-mistake the grace of God. You can't out-sin the grace of God. It doesn't matter. He has a way for you if you'll finally stop and drop and let Him do what He wants to do. A, B, C, D. There's four of them. I keep counting five. Real faith will act upon the Word of God and position itself to receive. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is why I hammer at you that you need to develop the spiritual discipline of the intake of the Word of God. You will never have faith apart from the Word of God. I know people who have died thought they were believing God for healing, and they were not basing it on anything other than some mental belief about something. Faith is in the Word of God. The Word of God is alive. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So real faith will act upon the Word of God and will position itself to receive. I want to read a verse, more than one. Matthew chapter 8. This is the story of a Roman soldier who had a servant. And verse 5, Matthew 8, 5, if you want to follow me. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." You want to hear the word of the Lord? How many of you believe that Jesus was God? Anybody believe that Jesus was God? Here's the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by word of God. Was that the word of God? Amen. It was. "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, now see, the first thing that he did, this is important. He came to where Jesus was. Let me talk a little bit about momentum, spiritual momentum. See, in your life, your momentum is either going toward the Lord or it's going away from the Lord. See, the Christian life is not treading water. It's like swimming up a stream. As long as you stroke, you're making progress. When you quit, the current takes you backwards. So your momentum is either going toward the Lord or it's going away from the Lord. When he heard of Jesus, he came to where he is. See, we need to learn to come to where he is. Where is he? He's revealed in his word. Where is he? He is working through his church. Where is he? He's in the night places when you meditate on his word and you talk to him and you commune with him. See, there is where you're going to find your momentum that is going toward him. Otherwise, if you're just resting or doing other things, your momentum will pull you away from him. You got to go, if you're going to position yourself for faith, you're going to have to, your momentum needs to be going toward him. And Jesus says, I will come and heal him. Now, verse 8, this officer understood something that was very important. He understood a principle. Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. He was not self-righteous at all. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. For I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over soldiers. And I only need to say, go, and they go, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he says, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Then he goes on and says, go your way, your servant is well. What did he do? He positioned himself in faith to receive what God had for him. It wasn't necessary that Jesus go to his house because he knew that he recognized that Jesus had authority. So he positioned himself in that authority. He believed in that authority. And he had the word of God. He says, I will come and heal him. And he just sent his word and he healed them. There's another story found in both Matthew and Mark. It's the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. She had this issue of blood for 12 years. She had gone to every doctor. She had tried every new kind of medication. She was not getting better. She was getting worse. And then the Bible says, and when she heard of Jesus, she did what? She did what? She heard. How does faith come? By hearing. What did she hear about Jesus? She heard that he was a healer. She heard that he had authority over demons and evil spirits. She heard the good news. She didn't. Good thing she didn't hear some things that come out of some pulpits. God will break your leg just to show how much he loves you. Really? Anyway, that's another sermon. So when she heard that, she came to where he was. Again, where's the momentum going? To or from? Now I want to ask you a question. How is your momentum flowing? Are you flowing to? Are you flowing from? Now, don't lie to yourself. See, your heart's like a garden. It's a garden. Your heart's a garden. Whatever you put in that garden is what it'll grow. Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? If you put strife in there, what comes out? If you put hate in there, what comes out? Hate. If you put unforgiveness in there, what comes out? See, that's momentum away from. If you got any of those things in your heart, fear. If you put fear in there, your momentum is not going toward, it's going away. If you put the word in there, and you put the love of God in there, and you put the right things in there, that's what it's going to produce. If you put as the stomach turns in there, or The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and the Jerry Springer. If that's what you're putting in there, that's what your garden is growing. If you're putting romance novels in there, that's what your garden's growing. Read the greatest romance novel ever. It's called the Bible. Can I just tell you something about romance novels? They don't paint a true picture of what it's about. Men don't act like that. They don't. Let me tell you, I'm one, I know. And you get this unrealistic expectation of this Romeo, and he's not a Romeo, he's a dummy-o. Okay? Jesus, help us all. I told you we have fun here. What you put in there is what's coming out. What you put in there determines the momentum. Let me say this to you, to some of you. You know, Friday night, we were here for the five-year celebration. Most everybody that was here has been affected by Celebrate Recovery. Most of them fairly new believers. There was a lot of energy in this place Friday night. And let me tell you something else that was here. The Holy Spirit was here Friday night. We had 250-something people here Friday night for this celebration. And it helps when you serve a little catfish. I understand that. Feed them and they'll come. But the Holy Spirit was here. And the passion for the Lord and the things of the Lord was here. But you know one thing I've noticed about us that have been believers for a long time? See, I've been a believer about 43 years. Here's the challenge: to keep the momentum going in the right direction. Because it's so easy to become complacent with our relationship with God. Okay, I want to give you some things. Did I finish with the woman with the issue of blood? She came and she touched the hem of his garment, for she says, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." Jesus acknowledged her faith. She was made whole. She put herself in a position to receive from God. Faith does that. Momentum toward. Put yourself in a place of obedience. Okay, I want to give you the principles now that I want to talk about here. I want to give you four things here. And I've talked about them a little bit. Number one, yield every area of your life to God. God don't want half of you. He don't want your brain, your heart and your brain. He wants your body. He wants all of you. There's a story in history, Charlemagne, the great king, and he was a great conqueror. And he, during the Middle Ages, he conquered most of Europe. And one of the armies that he used was the Franks. And Charlemagne was instrumental in bringing the church out of persecution. In fact, he made it fashionable to be a Christian. And he, because of him, a lot of people came to the church to be baptized. And a lot of these soldiers would come and they would be baptized. But when they stuck them under the water, they would take their swords out and they would immerse everything except their sword arm. They did not want their sword arm to be baptized because they wanted to be able to kill who they needed to kill. They didn't want that sanctified. They wanted it. So they left part of it out. And, you know, you say, well, that's silly. Well, we do the same thing. We get ducked in the water and we stick our tongue out because we want to gossip. I'm not going to talk about anything else. God wants your tongue. He wants your passion. He wants your body. He wants every part of you. We need to commit our whole selves, every area of our lives to the Lord. He wants it all. Number two, develop your relationship with God. And again, I want to say to you older believers that have been believers a long time, it's very easy to become complacent. It's very easy for you to think, okay, I've been a believer for a long time and I'm just going to kind of take it easy and rest on my laurels and I'm not going to. You can't do that. You'll go to heaven, but you won't be so what you're supposed to be. You won't be in the position for God to do in your life what he wants to do by faith. Faith positions itself. And that's one of the ways that we position ourselves is we develop our relationship with God. Being saved is not enough. It's not. We need to become disciples. We need to become followers. We need to become obedient. Number three, learn to discern the voice of God. I want to say something very, very, very controversial that a lot of people don't believe. God still talks today. God speaks. We just don't listen. We need to learn to discern the voice of God. So you know what that means? That means you're going to have to shut your mouth. When's the last time you came to church and you told you need to shut up? You need to hush and you need to listen. You need to talk, then you need to hush, and then you need to listen. God will speak to your heart. God will speak to your heart. He does. He still speaks today. So we need to learn to discern the voice of God. Now, let me give you one aspect that'll help you, because we pray about something, whether I need to take this job or I need to do this or I need to go out with this guy or this girl or I'm believing God for this mate. If it's impulsive, it's probably not God. If it's do it right now, ooh, hurry, 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 that's probably not God. Learn to discern the voice of God. Remember we talked about waiting a while ago? Then number four, act on the Spirit's leading. Because what He does, the Spirit of God, as you learn to discern His voice, He will guide you into the position where you can receive what He wants for you. He can lead you into the place where you'll meet that right person. He'll lead you into the place where you'll be when that job comes or when whatever it is that He's trying to do in your life. He'll position you by obedience to His leading to be at the right place at the right time. And you know what? It'll almost seem magical, but it's not magic. It's supernatural. And we're supposed to learn to live the supernatural lifestyle. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, I just preached myself happy today. Glory. Give the Lord a praise today. Woo. All right. I want my prayer team to come. We're gonna give some folks might need to pray about some stuff. Can I just tell you? Can I just ask you? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? I know He's talking. I know He's dealing with hearts. Let's get still a minute. Still and quiet. See, I want you to know and realize what He's saying to your heart today. Because He does talk. The very thing that quickened in you, maybe you've